All right, we're looking at two verses in Psalm 130 this evening. So Psalm 130, if you have your Bible tonight. And we'll look at verses 7 and 8. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. There we read, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. The King James Version uses the word plenteous instead of the idea of abundant. Of course, both of those words essentially mean the same thing. Abundant, plenteous, however you want to put it. Certainly, the psalmist has come a long way in verses 7 and 8 from what he was saying in verses 1 and 2. He begins the psalm by saying that he's in this deep, deep pit. He says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. And then verse 3 shows us really how fearful it is to recognize just how sinful we are. We're in this pit. We struggle. We simply cannot stand if the Lord should mark our iniquities. And that gives us fear. It makes us tremble. But then there's forgiveness with the Lord, it says in verse 4. And so, verse 7, he redeems us from all our iniquities. So for me, verse 7 is really a wonderful thought, especially when you look at the final three words, all our iniquities. He delivers us from all of them, past, present, and future. So where sin abounds, Paul would say in Romans, grace abounds much more. And we need to remember that. And so verses 7 and 8 are essential when we think about this concept of hope. The main word here is hope. And what the psalmist is telling us is that hope belongs to us. It's our responsibility. It's a confident expectation that I have. Nobody can hope for me. God isn't going to make me hope. I can despair. I can become quite depressed about things. I've been reading I follow Breakpoint Ministries, which is Chuck Swindoll's old ministry, the prison fellowship. And today they had an article posted. And the article, the essential idea behind the article was when people despair, they cited all of these pastors who had committed suicide and all the people that are struggling with suicidal thoughts today. And the advice coming from the article was, we need to seek help from people who are professional experts in these areas. And automatically, my radar starts to go up. Well, what about God's Word? I think that we go into the depths, we go into despair, we have suicidal tendencies or thoughts. I think that some of it can be physiological, and certainly we ought to get a checkup medically and make sure everything is going the way that it needs to, because physical things can affect us emotionally and spiritually. But primarily, when we become despairing, it's because we've lost hope. If you have hope, you have the confidence that you need to navigate all the difficult things that you face in life. Don't ever get the idea that hope is the same way that people think of it today, in a hope-so-maybe-so kind of way. It's a proposition, you know. It's not something that's confident. It's not something that people expect. It's something that's up in the air for them. And so there's much doubt loaded in the common vernacular today when you think about hope. But that's not true with us as believers. Bible hope is a confident expectation that God will do as he's promised in his word. And so we keep our mind on that. There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, we can say it this way. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And so his word is sufficient, and it meets every need. And so what needs to take place according to these verses? Well, I think primarily prayer and patience. Confidence and hope come to us when we're prayerful and we're patient. And that patience has an extra ingredient called persistence. Confident prayer, even out of the depths we cry, Lord, hear us. Hear our supplications, as the psalmist says. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Now that sounds like he's teaching us to be confident in our prayer. When we pray, we open up our mouths wide, and the Lord, he hears us. Our prayer life is the expectation of our soul. It's who we are on the inside. And so we say our hope is in the Lord, but do we pray as if our hope truly is in the Lord? I don't think there could be anything worse than to pretend that we have hope and then to fail to confidently pray. As a matter of fact, you can kind of look at that as a litmus, right? If you want to know, is hope alive in my life right now, look at your prayer life. Because your prayer life tells you where your hope is. I mean, if we're crying out of the depths, we know that this we need God. We're really expecting him to do something great in our lives. And then sometimes we don't see things moving the way that we think that they should. It's not coming according to my agenda or my timetable. And that's where patience comes into play. We wait for the Lord, like verses 5 and 6. In his word, we hope. We're waiting for the morning light to flood in and to erase the terrifying night that was before us. That's the kind of hope that we're talking about. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 25. So I think that impatience is a mark of spiritual immaturity in my life. When I want things to happen now, when I want everything on my timetable, when I want people to adjust to what I think that they should be, all right, this is all a mark of immaturity, spiritually speaking. We're unbelieving, we're despairing even. And so the day will come, it surely will come, when God will make everything right. We eagerly wait for that day. You might not see it. You might not see it until you get to heaven, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And that extra element, persistence, is there too. That's the main ingredient when it comes to patience, as far as biblical patience is concerned. We cling to the Lord and we hope in him, he says in verse 5. And yet we know that that's difficult, but is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. He can do anything or everything that we need to have done in our lives. And we know it gets difficult. I struggle with things. I have to wait for certain things, wait for stressful meetings, or wait for action to be taken. Or sometimes you just wait in prayer instead of going after a person, and maybe I'm in authority and I can make things happen. Instead, just waiting and allowing the Lord to do this in that person and not trying to move things on my own. So when all is contrary to hope, in hope we continue to believe, even as Abraham did. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." So confident prayer, confident patience, and that extra element of persistence. So that's what hope is all about. But don't look, you know, if you stop there, what you're going to do is you're going to stop by and you're going to look at your problem, right? Because that's what we need patience for. That's what we're praying about. Sometimes we pray and we're just focused on the problem in even our prayer lives. So there's not really an expectation of God doing anything about it, but there is a lot of venting about it. And if it's not in prayer, it might be to my wife or to a friend, which complicates things even further. And so hope is my responsibility, but my hope needs to be in God. My focus can't be on the problem. And when my hope gets on where it should be, on God himself, then this passage tells me that God has character that is merciful, and that mercy meets every day with me. God's work is redemptive, and God's word is certain. His character is merciful. Verse 7 says, "With the Lord there is mercy. Hope filled, yet I'm flawed." I need the mercy of God. I think that sometimes Christians get the idea that they don't need God's mercy, but we need it. God wants us broken. As a matter of fact, that's what he does not despise. He does not despise those who have a broken and a contrite heart. And so our goal is to be broken before him so that God will delight in extending to us mercy, as it says in Micah 7 and verse 18. The Lord is rich to all who call upon him, Romans 10 and verse 12. So God, rich in mercy, God doesn't look at my miserable state and then all of a sudden change my perspective of, you know, his perspective of me, and then say, oh, you know, he's not all that miserable. No, there's always in the mind of God that is a man for whom my son died. And so it is the righteousness of Christ that gives me access to God as my father. And I shouldn't ever forget that. I shouldn't ever think that I'm going on my own, or I've been living a pretty good life, and a lot of the sin that's going on in my life, I don't notice it. I'm not as introspective as I should be. So I am really blissfully ignorant about the fact that I need the mercy of God. But then what happens when all hope is gone and I'm drained of my human strength and I have a huge failure? Well, then I'm not prepared for what will happen. God's work, too. God's character is merciful, but his work is redemptive. The text says, with him is abundant redemption, verse 7. That reminds me of the hymn we sometimes sing, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. That's abundant redemption. Peter talks about an abundant entrance into heaven itself. We have an abundant entrance because we have an abundant redemption. And that's what he's saying here. And so my hope is in God. We have hope in the redemption. And then God's word finally is certain. It says in verse 8 that he shall. Well, why? Why shall he? Because he's spoken. He said so in his word. No other reason. We don't need any other reason. You say, well, why? Because not one single word has ever failed of all that God has spoken. Jed, William, pay attention. Not one single word. God has done everything that he has promised. And so think about this verse in Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I mean, that's pretty clear promise. It's as if I have not sinned because I'm standing before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's how I shall appear before him when I go to heaven. That's why my entrance is abundant. That's why my redemption is abundant. And so praying, waiting, dependent sinner, exhorting God to do great and mighty things that are inaccessible to me because I'm confidently expecting that he will. I hope in him. I think that's important. You say, well, you know, this psalm, Pastor, oh, you neglect to say that it was really given to Israel. And while it was particularly true, as far as Israel is concerned, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? That's how I often look at the promises that are given to Israel. I see how they're communicated in the New Testament, and if they were true when it had to do with Israel, they're certainly true when it has to do with the church, because there is no Israel in the church. There is no Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. There's no distinction there. And so these great truths have been passed on to us by those previous generations who had failed the Lord, really, and we learn from their negative example. But when it comes to us, we need to understand that hope's a choice. It's my responsibility. And that means I might not have that hope if I don't protect it, if I don't bank on God's word, and I won't be able to pass it on to the next generation or generation after that. So I am more concerned that my great-great-grandchildren will have to relearn what I'm passing on. And so we trust that the Lord will give us hope tonight. Hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem us from all our iniquities. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your character, which is merciful, your word, which is certain, and the work that you're doing in us, which is redemptive, abundant, in its redemptive power. Help us, Lord, now as we pray and bring burdens before you. We ask for answers to prayer and that we would see them. And Lord, if we've been prayerless in our lives this past week, help us to understand that with you there is mercy. And it's never too late for us to begin praying anew. We ask that your Spirit would fill us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I think what we'll do tonight